Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Matthew chapter 14. The enemy is always looking to destroy you. Did you know that? Now, you don't have to be afraid because he's not omnipresent. You say, what does that mean? That means he's not everywhere at once like God is. Okay? He's not the all-powerful devil. Okay? He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. He's not any of those things. He's actually just a defeated foe. He's just really good at his craft. He's really worked at deception. Did you know that? Do you know he's the father of lies, the Bible says? And so we want to know, and so if you want to know more about the enemy, just for battle purposes, spiritually, you can go back and listen to Unmasking the Enemy. We talked a lot about it there. But the reality is that we have victory over the enemy in Jesus' name. We are not at a disadvantage against him. The only time that we put ourselves at a disadvantage is when we don't focus on and believe God according to his word and focus on him. That's when we put ourselves at a disadvantage. That's why I felt like this message, and I'm only going to do one more week after this. I'm going to start a new series in January called As Unto the Lord, talking about, you know, because it's the new year and we all want to commit more to God. And so people commit to diet and they commit to all sorts of things, but we're going to commit more to God. But anyway, I wanted to talk about this because this question that Jesus asked Peter, and let's take a look at it. Let's go to Matthew 14, and then we'll go to verse number 22 is where I'll start. It says this. Actually, I'm going to skip way down, okay? I'm going to go to verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. So Jesus is performing a miracle in front of them. Okay, he's walking on water. We know that's not a common thing every day. Most people sink in water or swim. And verse number 26 says, and when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Do you know Jesus doesn't bring fear? He brings cheer. I know it rhymes, but it's in there. Okay? Don't be afraid. Be full of cheer. If you're not full of cheer, what might you be focusing on? Amen. It's a good thought, right? What might you be focusing on? Okay? He said, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. And then he says in verse 28, it says in verse 28, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. What is Jesus going to say? No, it's not me. He said, if it's you, command me to come. He kind of backed him into a corner. If it's you, Lord, give me one answer. Come. So he did. He said, come, Peter, come. It's me, come. So what is Jesus saying to Peter? It's me. It's not a ghost, it's me, okay? So he says, come. So verse 29 says, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Did Peter walk on the water? Yes, he did. You say, well, I don't understand that. I know. There's a lot that God can do that we don't understand. That's why that the Bible says, according to Romans 10, that hearing the word of God brings faith. Right? Does the Bible say that hearing the word of God brings common sense? It brings faith. Now, there's common sense wrapped up in it, but we have to look at it from God's perspective. Does that make sense? We have to look at it from his perspective. In other words, common sense in the world is not common sense to God. In fact, common sense in the world is foolishness. It's just foolishness. Well, I'm going to do it the way the world does it, and you're going to end up stolen from, killed before you're supposed to, and destroyed. You say, why do you say that? Because Satan is the god of this world. And he's the father of all those who follow his ways. And so you'll end up with destruction in your life. And people, you know, as Christians, we want to do as little as possible to help the devil. Not only with other people, but in our personal lives as well. How many have noticed that he attacks you no matter what? Hello. Welcome to planet Earth. Do you know the difference between us and the world is not that we don't have to deal with the enemy, it's that we have an answer for the enemy. That's the difference. And we need to understand that and then practice that. Even, listen guys, even in the most trying times, we've got to yield to the Word of God and choose His way, not ours. And when you do that, Heidi and I have seen it happen time and time again, and I know other of you have too. When you resist Him and yield to the Word of God, God will come through. Don't be afraid. Don't yield to fear. God will come through. Yeah, but I'm crying through the night. I know. Stay with God. Okay? Listen, how many have had a cry through the nighttime? I have. Man, you know, Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 4, they were in prison, right? And at midnight, it wasn't Acts chapter 4, but it's in Acts. Okay, scratch Acts chapter 4, that wasn't in there. But it's in Acts. And they're in prison. They've been beat. When was the last time you were beat for what you believed? I'm going to venture to guess nobody. Okay, maybe somebody, but I'm going to venture to guess nobody, but just possible. What were they doing in that prison? Praying and singing praises to God. That's right. Joy. Well, yeah, but the circumstance is horrible. Yep. That's just the right time to sing praises to your God. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it. I know. It faith like it. Come on. It faith like it. That little simple truth right there, if you apply that to everything, that is faith. Your feelings will change, guys. They'll change. We're not led as believers by our feelings. We're led by our faith. Now, I know sometimes, like I'll make the statement, I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying to me, I'm not talking about I feel it here. I'm talking about in my heart, I hear the Holy Spirit saying to me. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. My spirit and the Holy Spirit are one because I'm born again. That's how I know how to make decisions. I listen inside. And I don't let other things distract me. Or if I have, I get myself in a mess. Amen. How many ever gotten a mess before? Do you know the way out is right there? Just hear from him. Don't say it's hard because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I'm his sheep. Right? You're his sheep. So you know his voice. You can hear from him. It's a horrible situation. I know. Let's get under the shelter of the Most High and hear from him. Amen? Okay, good. Hallelujah. God's good to us. All right, so verse number, I don't know where I left off, but he told him to come. Verse number 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So we looked at this word doubt. Now, I do not believe, I used to think, and it was because of my own immaturity and my own just lack of understanding about the Lord. I used to think Jesus was looking at him going, why did you doubt? That is not what Jesus was doing there. Jesus was saying, Peter, let's think about why you doubted. Let's consider. You started out in faith, Peter. It was little faith, but it was faith. You know, we all start out with little faith, but it was faith. And then something got you off track. What was it, Peter? What was it that got you into that place of not looking at me anymore and looking at your circumstances? See, this is the devil right here. Let's look at the definition again for doubt. It says this, it means to duplicate, it means to waver. It's from where we get our word double. We get the word double from doubt. What is double? What is double? It's two, right? Yeah. Okay. Make sure we all know what double means. Double means, the word doubt also means this, to stand in two ways. So what caused Peter to sink? He tried to stand in two ways. You know what causes Christians to sink back into the world? They try and live part in the world and part with the Lord. You know that? You know what causes confusion in your life? You have not made one decision and one focus. Jesus. You know how many times people allow circumstances, family, money, health issues, all sorts of stuff make their decisions for them instead of the Lord? You know how many, I've talked to people, I remember Brother Hagin used to say, talk about different scenarios with people. They would make decisions about their family and life, not even considering the Lord. They would consider all sorts of other things. And the Lord, glory to God, and the Lord wants to help people, but he can only help them if they let them. And what happened with Peter here, and people say, well, I've missed it in so many ways. Okay, so you missed it. Repent. You know? You're like, they get fixated on things that they shouldn't. And the enemy keeps them in that place of confusion. Have you ever met somebody that just doesn't know what they're going to do? And every other week it's something new? Why? Double. I know the Lord wants me to do this. The next week. Well, we'll see what happens. Double. That's why you're sinking. That's why you're so conscious of the waves and the wind. That's why your emotions are rattled. Because you haven't focused on one thing, which is the Lord. That's what doubt is. Amen? And so, that's what he's talking about here. So let's think about this. Here's a couple of thoughts for you. As far as doubt is concerned, and here we'll think about it in terms of what Jesus said to Peter. But listen to this. Contrary thoughts, words, or circumstances to the Word of God is no sign that God is not doing what he said he would do. It isn't. All right? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe will be saved and are baptized will be saved. Amen? Okay? So he said that. Are there people not receiving Jesus? Is God not fulfilling his word? No. We live in the world. We need to separate what is Satan's domain and man's free will versus what is God's will. And then focus on God's will for us personally. And then share that will with other people. But can we make them obey? No, and anybody that tries to make you do anything is not yielding to the Holy Spirit anymore. Did you hear me? Well, they told me I have to do this. They are not God. Now, we will give counsel and direction as pastors and elders and leaders in a church to people who need assistance in making a decision. But let me help you with something. We won't make the decision for you. That's not leadership. That's dictatorship. Do you know, under Hitler, people were not making their own decisions? You know what I mean by that? We, as ministers, are here to empower you to know God. And to help lead you. And what that means, it's kind of like a parade. We take off in a direction that we feel like God said to go, and we allow everybody that wants to follow along. Does that make sense? And if they choose to jump the parade and go somewhere else, we can't stop them. Now, I will gladly go to people and say, look, I think you're making a mistake here. I'm talking about, you know, if they're going to follow after the world. I'll go and tell them. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Is it my favorite thing to do? No. But it doesn't matter. I'm not called to do my favorite thing. I'm called to pastor. Amen? And why would I do that? Why would I put myself out there with the possibility of being rejected or the possibility of being shunned or whatever you want to say. Why would I do that? Because I love you more than I love how I feel. And so does the Lord. Does that make sense? So we're not trying to make anybody do anything. But when circumstances come up, when things come up and you heard from the Lord and he told you to do something, but it doesn't look like you know what's going to happen, it doesn't look like it's even working, or it looks like the situation is worse than it was when you started, that is no sign that you didn't hear from God. All that is either the attack of the enemy or you live on planet Earth. Stay with the promise of God. He will see you through. Amen. Don't scramble everywhere looking for answers. Go to the Word, find them, and do. You know, we live in Pentecostal circles, there's a big move on to get advice from everybody around you or to have everybody else around you hear from the Lord for you. That is not God's intention for you. His intention for you is for you to hear from him. And then if somebody does, the gifts of the Spirit in that area are meant to confirm what you already have on your heart. They are not meant to lead you. Let me help you with something. I'm just going to say this, and then I'm going to move on. But I feel like maybe I need to say this. And maybe it's for somebody in here, or maybe it's for somebody that's going to listen later. But we got two audiences going on here. But keep this in mind. Prophets today, I'm talking about the office of a prophet, okay? They do not lead your life like they did under the Old Testament. Do you know under the Old Testament, the prophets under the Old Testament led the people. They heard from God. That is not what happens today. You're saying the prophets don't get words from God. No, they do get words from God, but they do not lead you on a day-to-day basis. And anybody that thinks they are supposed to do that is wrong. Wrong. They're wrong. There are some general truths that will come out in prophecy and or through prophets. But the prophets today are not like the prophets of the Old Testament in the sense of that they are guiding and directing every decision that you're making. Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. The prophet lives inside of you. Does that make sense? Now, don't just throw that out. Make sure you check it out. Amen? Search the scripture and see if I'm right. I got an amen. I got two witnesses. Oh, love it. Praise the Lord. All right. When contrary circumstances arise, and I put in parentheses here, they will. We need to take the opportunity to focus even stronger on the words that Jesus spoke to us. That's what you need to do. Let's go to James chapter 1 and we'll end right here. Do you get anything so far? Good. Let's put it into practice this week. Let's put it into practice. While you're turning, I'll read this. What could Peter have done to remain in faith? Jesus said, why did you doubt? James chapter 1 is where you're going. Why did you doubt? What could Peter have done to remain in faith? Keep his eyes on Jesus. Basically, what Jesus was telling Peter was this. Peter, you could have walked all the way to me and we could have walked all the way back to the boat together. All you had to do was not look at the wind. Because everybody knows that on a calm day you can walk on the water. But if it's windy, oh no. Do you see what I'm saying? The enemy is just like that. He's just like that. Okay? All right. Here's another thought, too. I'll just share this quick. You know when Jesus rebuked the storm and it went to peace? Remember that he said, peace be still? Understand that the enemy can get in the elements and cause devastating storm. Okay? So you need to speak to storms. Does that make sense? Okay? So practice it. When a storm's coming, We do this with our house. We say, no, you can't destroy our stuff. We're under covenant with God. Peace be still. Does that make sense? Okay, who was Jesus speaking to when he said, peace be still? Who was he rebuking? Apparently, and we know this, guys, this is so simple, but sometimes we miss it. Adam let Satan in Genesis 3. He let him into everything. We can go green all day long. We ain't saving the planet. Sorry. I hate to break it to you. It's disappointing, I know. I see. I don't think we should just see how quick we can trash the planet either. Okay, I'm not on that spectrum. But you understand what I'm saying. Okay? The enemy is in the planet. He destroys everything that he touches. That's what he does. And Adam gave him the lease. So until his time's up, it's a good thing we're salt. He's going, I can't get rid of this salt. No, the salt keeps growing. People are getting saved all over the planet. Today. Amen. I plan this year on partaking in harvesting the planet. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, James chapter 1. Here's another scripture. Verse number 1 says this, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What are you supposed to do? Count it all joy. Complain and cry? Come on. Well, we want to see a move of God. Well, then we better obey the word. You know, people think that they can bypass obedience to the word with prayer. I said a whole lot more than maybe you realize right now. They think, well, I'll just pray about it. Really? If the Bible tells you what to do, you don't even need to pray. Just do what the Bible says. You cannot bypass in prayer what God requires in obedience from his word. That's why the teaching of the word is so vital. That's why I love where I went to school. Because we learn the word and we learn the move of the Spirit. Both. And together, oh man, it's exciting. I've been in some fun services. And then I've been in services where I'm like, Brother Hagin's teaching again. And I've heard this story like 700 times. Because the guy would not vary away from the same scripture and the same story. Every single time, I could finish the story. But you know what? We had victory and victory and victory, and the presence of God was there, and people learned how to walk by faith. Amen? Guys, we're going to have some services where God comes in the room so strong, you just won't even be able to stand yourself. And it's increasing, and we've watched it increase, and it'll continue to. But you know what else we're going to be? We're going to be shouters, laughers, runners, dancers. We're going to be happy about God and excited about it. But you know what else? We're going to walk real straight when we get out those doors because we'll have the word of God in us. Amen? It just takes time to build it. It just takes time to build it. But we're going to build it. Amen. By the grace of God, because the Lord's building the house. Okay, count it all joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, hallelujah, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse number 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, who gives to all liberally without what? Reproach, which means he's not going to call you stupid. And it will be given to him. Verse 6 is where I want to get. But let him ask in what? Faith with no doubting. Faith with no doubting. Or we could say what? Faith with no double. Now, if faith is how we're supposed to act and we're not supposed to have double, what do we know about faith? It's singular. What does that mean? That means when you ask for wisdom from the Lord, that's it. You're getting wisdom. Now, people go, well, God is not manufacturing any of his blessings for us. They're already available. It's just that we need to remain in faith so the avenue stays open so it gets to us. You know, scripture says in Psalms that the angels of heaven hearken to the word of God and then they perform it. You know, the scripture says that God is faithful to watch over his word and perform it. You say, well, if he's performing it, why hasn't it come? Well, did you double? Or did you faith? I know it sounds simple, guys, but this is a law in the spirit. Faith is required on our part. You are not saved without faith. You know, these people that say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I believe in all these other things too. No, you doubled or tripled, or some places have like a million gods. I don't know what that is, but it's more than double. And it's more than single. You know what I mean? Faith is singular. Well, yeah, but my friends, they believe in a lot of things and I really like them. Good, if you really like them and love them, you'll pray for them that God will open their eyes and share the truth with them, contrary to what you feel. Doesn't mean you got to yell at them or none of that. Just say, no, I'm sorry. I had a Mormon guy the other day. He was after me. He wanted to prove that he was a Christian. Guys, listen. I said, and it's really interesting. It's tricky with them because they have the Bible and they have the Book of Mormon. Okay? But they were hunting. He was hunting. He might have thought at the end that he picked the wrong guy to try and talk to about it. But we're having this conversation back and forth. I said, look. And he said to me, you know, he's wanting to justify himself to me. I said, look, I'm born again. I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, how do you know that? And I told him. Then he said, and he starts talking about the Book of Mormon. I said, I don't believe in the Book of Mormon. It's not from God. Ooh, he did not like that. Okay. I'm not here to appease his emotion. I'm here to share truth with him. Amen? And he said, and I said, he goes, well, why? I said, well, first of all, there's no history for it. There's no archaeological proof. There's no linguistics proof. There's no, I mean, just from the natural side. I'm not talking about scripture to scripture. Secondly, Paul said, if an angel, he said, if I or a preacher or whatever, or an angel from heaven comes to preach to you another gospel, don't receive it. Hello. It's like that scripture was put there for that exact faith or belief system. Well, it's simple for me. No, I can't believe that. Why? Well, we mix them together. No, no, no. God's word is pure. You can't mix it. Amen? They're not double. We're not double. It's double. The Mormon belief is double. You say you're preaching against Mormons. I love Mormons. I've ministered to them time and time again. I work with a lot of them. They're good people, but good people don't make heaven. Sanctified, washed in the blood. Belief on Jesus Christ only make it to heaven. That's it. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Amen? You know that you've seen the bumper sticker? It's so cute how the world tries to come up with stuff. Coexist. You've got sin in your heart. If you're not saved, you cannot coexist. I think it's so cute, the commercials that they come out with. And I'm being sarcastic with very sarcastic right now. My kids are used to me by now. Commercials will come on the TV about Coca-Cola and peace on earth and all that. And I just start preaching. And the Lord spoke to me when I was listening to a Coca-Cola commercial. You know, all these people. No, no, no. I think it was a Microsoft commercial. But they were in Times Square or something and all the, you know how they do the flash mob thing? It was the Apple? Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's one of the groups. You guys can stand. I'm quitting here. This is it. I promise. Only went over 4 minutes, so. But anyway, you know how they do that and they're singing, let there be peace on earth? Peace on earth has already come. His name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, Sean, you know they'll never have peace. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, peace is not just made by you. It's birthed in the heart. Ah, yes, it's birthed in the heart. Humanity does not have the capability outside of Jesus to have any level of peace. Because there's only one true peace, Jesus. It dawned on me. He said, Sean, you're not born with peace in you. You have to be born again to get it. Well, I know these people and they're Zen masters. No, they've disciplined the body, which Paul talks about. They have all sorts of rituals and they all formats and they've disciplined their mind. But in their heart is death without Jesus. And there's no peace in Satan. It doesn't exist. But you have Jesus. So you've got peace. I'm actually going to be a part of world peace. It's just going to be when Jesus comes back. I'm actually going to save the planet. It's just when Jesus comes back. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be there. It's a real thing that's going to happen. My body's going to be changed from mortal to immortal in the twinkling of an eye. Ooh, I want to be around for that day. You'll see me 1 minute, and then I'll be glorified. And I'm excited about it. I actually believe this. Yeah, amen. And I'm going to be with the Lord in His kingdom forever. Until then, I'm going to go around booting devils in the head. People don't like that. They think you can't say that. Really? The Bible says in Luke, what, chapter 10? That we are to tread on serpents and scorpions. And it's talking about devils and demons and all those things. I mean, this week, just get after the enemy. Every second, I'm not saying you have to do it like I do it. Maybe you're real sweet, okay, and quiet. Maybe you're not obnoxious like me. But listen, you can get after the devil. As soon as you see something come up that's stealing, killing, and destroying, you just go, no, I don't double. I single. I don't double. I by faith. No, I rebuke you, Satan. You take your hands off the situation in Jesus' name. Use your authority. Let's just mess with him all week. We'll just run devils all over the place. Wherever you're at, you can rebuke him. And where I'm at, I'll rebuke him. It'll be great. Is that real to you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your joy, 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 joy. Joy in us and through us, Lord. Thank you for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The refreshing of your presence. Lord, you know the situations this week, but as we stick with you, they're turning around. We rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. We command him to take his hands off our money, take his hands off our family, take his hands off our business, take his hands off our stuff in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're not going to try and this isn't in our power or our authority. It's in yours. So we rest. We rest in you. And we say thank you that you're doing what you said you would do. We believe you for good testimonies. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget Thursday night. Oh yeah, and I need to announce this. If you go out and look to the left, you'll see 23 coats that the church bought. And is giving to Elder Grove School with hats and gloves. And we're giving them to Elder Grove School on Monday for kids who don't have coats. So just keep in mind, we're being a blessing. And I'm telling you, we get glory to God. I know, it's awesome. Listen, I'm telling you, we bought how many turkey dinners, Thanksgiving dinners? And we're developing a relationship with Elder Grove School. I know you guys don't hear about it much, but we are. And it's having an impact. So keep that in mind as you with your giving and stuff. It's going out, okay? It's going out. So anyway, bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.